Hi, good afternoon. I'm John Harris. I'm the Senior Product Manager for Expression Blend and Sketchflow. Obviously, here this afternoon to talk to you a little bit about Blend for Windows Phone. And alongside me, I have Brian here. So we're just going to mute the speaker on this machine, like so.
Hi, my name is Brian Agneta. I'm a senior UXPM from the Windows Phone Design Studio. And I'll be here to talk about some of the influences of the design language of Windows Phone 7.
So we thought we'd start out by having a quick look at Blend, doing a demo. Obviously, we showed Blend for Windows Phone for the first time back at MIX earlier on this year. So we thought we'd start off by just showing you some of the things that have changed in the last 6 months and some of the new stuff that was introduced during beta and when we released to web about a week ago now. So obviously, we're viewing this over live meeting. For those of you viewing this on the recording later, you'll have much better quality video. So apologies for any graphical glitches that you see as we go through this. So when we look at Blend here, Blend really concentrates on building the user experience of your phone application, which is something that Brian will be talking through later when he talks through the Metro side of things. So let's look at some of the key new features that we've introduced in Blend in this release. So over here in the Devices panel, obviously we need to control various aspects of your application as you're designing it, things like the orientation, the theme, and also where you actually want to preview the application. So in this case, we can switch from portrait mode to landscape mode, and you can see that sort of very clearly there on the design surface. What you can see here as well is a little warning has just popped up going, well, hang on a minute, this page, it doesn't support this orientation. So what does that actually mean? Well, you can actually lock the orientation of your application. So if we come over here to the property inspector, you can see down here that one of the options you've got is to lock the orientation of your app to either landscape, portrait, or both. So if we choose both, you can see that warning sign just goes away a little bit, like so. So like I said, we're going to be looking at a lot of these new features. I'm just going to turn that back off. Like so. A couple of other new things we've got going on here. We've got the ability to show different themes. So, for example, we're looking at the dark theme at the moment. Well, let's have a look at what the app looks like with the light theme. We can also highlight and show the accent color of the application as well. So in this case, let's do a very obvious change. Let's just take the layout route here. And I'm literally going to come over here to my property inspector. And we're literally just going to grab a brush resource there, and we're just going to color the background of that app with the accent color. I probably wouldn't actually design my application like this, but it's just a very visual artifact, visual way of doing things. And obviously, we can change that to a different accent color. When we run this in the emulator, what you'll actually see is the emulator has its accent color set to a different color than I have inside of Blend. And you can see immediately that gets picked up here. So very nice, very easy way to start doing some of these sort of design things here. We can also decide whether we want to preview on the emulator. Or if you're lucky enough to have a Windows Phone 7 device, you can preview directly on the device as well, which is what the guys were doing a little bit earlier. So a couple of other things we've got going on here. Let's look at some of the new text controls we've got here. So we're just going to grab the text box and literally just draw that onto the design surface. I'm just going to hit F5 again, and just to preview this in the emulator, and we'll see what the default setup is for the text box. So when I click on the text box, I automatically get the QWERTY keyboard, which is pretty much what you'd expect. Then when I come back into Blend, I've got this nice new option here where I can actually set the input scope for the different text fields. So for example, maybe this is an email text field. So I can just select that, hit F5. And now this time when we click inside that text box, like so, you can see we've got the at symbol, the .com, and it's just a very nice, easy way to start setting some of these. And we'll just do one other one here, one final one. You know, it's a more dramatic change this time. You can see there's a lot of different input scopes you can set. So you can really make this a very effective way of entering information. And I've just chosen telephone number as the example this time. And you can see that the keyboard that gets pulled up this time is actually the telephone pad. It's a very quick, very easy way of actually producing some really great effects here. A couple of other things we've added. Up here we've got the system tray, and we can obviously turn that on and off because it's important to see what that looks like as well in the context of the application. The final thing we'll look at, and then we'll get into actually building an application, is the application bar itself. So down here inside the Property Inspector, I can very quickly create a new application bar. So I'm just going to hit New. And you can see I've got a few default things I can set up here, like background color and those sorts of elements. And then we can actually go into the application bar itself and very quickly and easily add menu bar items and icons. And we can see down at the bottom there, we just added a new icon to the bar. Blend comes with a whole bunch of built-in icons that you can choose from. So in this case, I'm just going to choose maybe the add icon there. We could just change the text on that button. I'll just copy and paste. We'll add a different element there. Let's just choose something else. We'll just choose delete. And again, I can update that. So very quickly, you can start to build out the look and feel of your application. Same thing with menu items as well. We'll just quickly add one of those in as well. Just adds it down at the bottom. And we can update the text. So we'll, you know, send this to Facebook. And then to actually hook these elements up, or Facebook in this case, obviously we can just quickly go in there and correct that spelling. Then to hook this up to the code behind, I just swap into this mode here, and then I can add the click event to these various elements. So that's just some of the new things we've added since we showed Blend for the first time at Mix earlier this year. So I'm just going to tidy up this this application a little bit. We're going to start building a real app here in a second. So let's have a look at the app we're actually going to build. So here's a version that I created a little bit earlier. It's actually a redo of what we did at Mix with some slightly new features. So it's actually a photo application. So you'll lose a few of the transitions over live meeting, but I'll explain in words exactly what's happening. So obviously we're using the pivot control here to look at different views of these photos, the photos that are taken today, over the last week, month, or year. And we can very easily scroll through the photos. You get the nice bounce effect there. All of that sort of animation and effects come for free with the pivot control. As we click on a photo, we go through to a more detailed view of that photo, so you can see it in higher resolution. Click on the photo, we get some text about that photo. And then obviously I can hit the back button and move back through the application. It's a very simple application, some really nice transitions there, and it's really the transitions that start to bring the application to life on the device. So let's have a look at how you'd actually build this. So we're going to build it not quite from scratch. I'll explain where we're cheating in the demo in a few moments. But if we were starting from scratch, I'd literally just do a new project. And you can see when we do a new project, we get a number of different options for the phone. The standard phone application, a data band application, and phone control. And then two new additions, a pivot application, which is what we'll be building today, and also a panorama application. We'll have a quick look at that at the end as well. So I'm not going to start from scratch, simply because I've got a couple of controls that I've built, a couple of styles that I've pre-built, and a couple of animations as well that we'll look at in detail in a few moments' time. It's just so we can fit the demo into the schedule we've got. So let's look at the pivot control to start off with. When you actually look at this, it looks very much like a tab control. It's a control with a number of items inside it. And as I select the pivot, I can very quickly and easily change the name of the application just over here. And we'll call this Photo Diary, because that's what we're building. And then I can select each pivot item and change each item. And as I change the individual items, you can see that the design surface immediately updates. So I'm getting feedback the whole time. So I have photos taken over the last week, photos taken over the last month, and then if you've got a great data plan, we'll have photos taken over the last year as well. And that'd be a lot of photos in my case. So we've got the basics here. We've got the layout, we've got the pivot control set up exactly how we want. But to really bring this application to life, we need to have some data. Now, I'm more of a UX guy, more of a visual guy, so I'm not really, you know, au fait with the data side of things. I actually asked one of my developers to build out a couple of view models for me. So I'm actually going to just load those into my project. And there's, again, numerous ways I can do this in Blend. I'm just going to add existing items from the project menu here. I'll just go and find those view models. They're actually just on my desktop in this folder, view models. I've just got two that I'm going to bring in here. I'll just bring those in. Then I just need to rebuild the project just so Blend recognizes that we've made an update. And then to use those, I come over to my data panel. So the first thing I want to do is decide the scope of my data. So in this case, I want to use it throughout the whole project. So I'll just select that. And then I just need to go and choose the view model that I actually want to use. So I'll pull open this window, and I can see the view models that I've actually brought in here. So we'll grab the weak view model, hit OK. And immediately, I can see how that data actually looks. I can see I've got a number of different items. And within each of those items, I've got a description, a low-res photo, a high-res photo, and also a title. And I'll just do exactly the same thing for the week view as well. And obviously, we could go through and we could do, sorry, for the today view. And obviously, we could do exactly the same thing for the month view and the year view. But we'll just do the two for this particular demo. So to actually start using this data, I literally just pick it up, drag it, and drop it. And automatically, Blend creates a list box for me with that data listed out within that list box. So that's pretty good. And, you know, I can start designing with this straight away on the design surface. I'm just going to tell that list box to fill all the available space on the design surface there. Now, if you remember back to the first app we looked at, the finished version of the app, the photos were wrapping around. They weren't listed out like that. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to just change the way that the data is laid out. And this is where, you know, Blend is incredibly powerful. You can edit how the data is laid out, and then you can style that data. So in this case, I'm just going to swap that list box for a wrap panel. And it just now wraps the photos around exactly how we want them to look. The spacing's not quite right, and it's, you know, these small details that make the difference when you're sort of building applications on the phone. So I'm literally just going to apply a slightly different style to this and just give those photos a bit of room to breathe there. So we've got my data in there. It's looking pretty good. Now, of course, I need to do exactly the same thing for the week view. So I can come in here. I can do exactly the same thing as before. I can drag and drop the photos, resize, do all of that sort of stuff. But I'm going to do it the quick way. I'm literally going to grab that list box and essentially copy that and then paste that into my week view. And you can see there that it pulls through the information, it pulls through the styling, and because I'd already connected the data up, it knew exactly what I needed to do there. And just so you know how easy it is to change the data context of this, I can grab the today data, drop it on there, it updates. I can go back and drag the week data, put it on there, and it updates. And then I just need to reapply the look of that data, and we're ready to go again. So let's just test this in the emulator. So we're just booting it up. So this is what we've just built. This isn't the finished app. This is literally what we've just built. So we can move from the today view to the week view. We've got the animation there, and the bounce is provided for free through the pivot control really nicely. So what we need to do now is start building out the detailed view and some of those transitions. So for the details page, I've got the page already set up here. It's a blank page. We're going to do it a slightly different way. I'm actually going to bring in some graphics that were created in Photoshop. We've got a number of different ways to bring in graphics into Blend. The Adobe FXG file format, which is a new addition for this release, well worth investigating. Photoshop and also Illustrator. And we're going to use Photoshop this time. So I'm just going to go and grab my Photoshop file, hit open. I get this really nice preview. Now, it's a live preview, so I can zoom in on the information here if I want to. I can turn individual layers on and off and get an immediate view of what this file will look like when I import it. When I select different layers, I can decide if I want to keep them editable or flatten them out as a bitmap. So it's entirely up to me how I bring in this information. I can even turn off whole folders of information on import. I'm literally just going to bring everything in, though, and just hit OK. Now, here is that Photoshop file inside of Blend. It's got the same sort of hierarchy as the original file. And the really nice thing is that, obviously, all the text remains editable, even though we just brought it in from essentially a graphics tool. So the next thing we need to do is make this data aware and actually bind it to the same data we were using a little bit earlier. So over here in my data window, I'm just going to open my data back up. And this time, I'm going to switch to details mode. So we're really creating a master detail page set here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to drag that over here to the layout route. And what that does, it's invisible what it does, actually. I'm just going to bring up the XAML window for a second. What it does is it adds a design time data context here. And this just allows me to work with the data very effectively at design time. This gets ignored when we actually go to runtime. So this is really a design time property. And what it allows me to do now is I can start dragging these elements directly onto my Photoshop file. So I drag on the description, let go, and you can see that the text is updated. It's kept the same style, the same format, font, color, everything stayed the same, but now it's actually data bound. It hasn't replaced the text, it's data bound it, and that's really important. And obviously we can do the same thing with the title. And then over here, I'm just going to turn off the text layer for a second, and then we're going to data bind the photo. And if you do drag out the wrong photo, like I've just done, it doesn't matter because you can just go straight back and drag out the right item. So what we've got now is we've got the detail page with all the information, but it doesn't work. Now, when you think back to the original application, what we were doing is we were loading it in with the photo showing, and then we were showing the text and being able to swap from one to the other. Now, this is very much like a toggle switch, showing one thing or the other. And that's, again, another really powerful thing with Blend. We can very easily take these graphics and turn them into just a standard control that the phone will recognize. So I'm going to grab all of those graphics and turn them into a control, and we'll turn them into a toggle button. And the nice thing about turning them into a control is you actually get access to all of the different visual states of that control. So I don't need the content presenter. So what we actually mean by that is this. I come up to the state manager now, and you can see that a toggle button has a number of different views that you can use here. So by default, my base state, I don't actually want to see the text. I want it to load with the photo showing. So I'm just going to grab the text and basically say, you know, let's make it invisible. I'm just going to set the opacity to 0. And then when we click on the picture, when we click on the photo, I actually want to bring that text back. So we're just going to set the opacity to 100%. And now we've got the effect that we want. We can switch from one thing to the other, checked and unchecked. So it's very easy for me to do that. I didn't need to write any code because the control's doing all of the hard work for me. So I've got my details page. I've got my main page. But they're not connected together. There's no way to navigate from one to the other. So something we introduced recently was this ability to navigate from one page to another. So I can just navigate directly to the details page. Well, that's okay, but it doesn't quite do exactly what I want because it needs to pass the context. It needs to understand which photo I've clicked on so it displays the right high-res photo. So to do that, we're actually going to use another nice feature inside of Blend, something called behaviors. And behaviors are great because they allow people that work on the UX to work really closely with the developer. So in this case, I basically told the developer exactly what I needed. I needed to be able to click on a photo and then pass that information through to the next page. And they actually wrote a behavior that then I can use on the design surface. And that behavior is actually this one, the Go To Page Custom Action. It's quite a tongue twister. But I can just literally pick that up, drag it and drop it. And then what happens over here in the property inspector, it just gives me the options that the developer has exposed for me. So let's go through these and see what they are. So the first thing it's saying is this is going to be triggered when the selected item changes. So when I click on one of these photos, we're going to trigger the behavior. Then we decide which page we want to actually navigate to. So we're going to navigate to the details page. Then the final option we've got here is what kind of transition do we want? Because it's the transition that really brings the application to life. And that's where these two little animations come in handy. So we've got a leave page animation that I created just before we started the demo, and an enter page. So let's look at these two animations, and you can see exactly what happens here. It's just a very simple, we just use the projection transform and just animate that page in at a slight angle. And obviously the leave page, we do on a slightly different angle. If I want to, I can grab the controls here down on the timeline, the keyframes, and just change the speed that the animation's playing. So again, you have a lot of control here over how the animation will play back and the speed it will play back. So in this case, I'm going to click on my behavior and say, yeah, let's use the leaf page sort of page transition there, so we get that nice transition. So why don't we give this a go in a second? Before we do that, though, let's go back to the details page and just have a look here. We've got all of the information here now. I think we're good to go. Let's give it a go, see what it looks like. I'm sure when you're doing a live demo, though, there's always going to be the odd little glitch that we need to tidy up, so we'll have a look at some of those in a second. So now we can go to the week, see those photos, go back, click on a photo, it navigates through. It just sort of appears, though. It's right there. It wasn't very subtle. When I click on that, we get the text. Again, it's just there. It's not a particularly subtle effect. And we click back. So what we really need to do is sort out those transitions and also light up the back button as well, because the back button's not working at this stage. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to use another behavior here. We are going to use the control storyboard action behavior. And this is just literally going to allow me to control a storyboard. So we're just going to drag that down here to the layout route. What we're going to do this time is say, hey, look, that great enter animation we had before where the thing was animating in really nicely, that's what we want to see when this page loads. So let's go to the loaded event. So when the page loads, we want you to play, and we want you to play the enter page animation. So now when the details page appears, we get that nice sort of swooshing effect there. For the back animation, the clicking on the back button, we need to use another behavior that my developer created for me. We'll dig in and look at these behaviors in a second. I'm actually going to use my back animation behavior option here. Again, I'll just drag that down here, and then I choose the animation I want to use when I leave the page. So let's have a look at these behaviors, because I keep mentioning behaviors. They're just bits of code the developer's written for me. You know, what's hiding there? So let's go and have a look. So the first one we'll look at is that go to page custom action. This is where we're linking the data together. So let's have a look at the code. I'll just scooch down to the bottom here and get to the interesting bit. So when we're navigating from the main page to the details page, all we're doing is we're grabbing the data context and then passing that from one page to the other. So we know which photo we've clicked on and we pass that through. Obviously, as a UX and designer, I don't need to know that and how it works. I just need to know that it works. For the back animation behavior, again, something very similar here. We're literally grabbing the back key press. So as we click that button, we're grabbing that, and we're actually canceling it. Then we're playing a transition. When the transition completes, we're then doing the navigation back to the previous page. So we're sort of getting there now. We're almost there. What we haven't done yet is sorted out the animation of these elements and really started to make those look great. So what I'm going to do is go back into the toggle button, and I'm literally just going to edit the toggle button template for a second. Go back to the states, and this time what we can do is we can change the amount of time it takes to transition from one state to the other. So in this case, I'm going to say, hey, let's do this over half a second. And I'm going to turn on a preview so I can see this right on the design surface, and we can go from one state to the other, and you see that transition. Quite nice. It's a little bit linear. Again, this won't show too well over live meeting, but you'll get this when you see the recording later. We can just add in just a little bit of acceleration and deceleration just to bring this to life a little bit. So now it accelerates, you see the animation, and it slows down. The final thing I want to do is, going from the photo to the text, that's quite a good speed for the animation. But going from the text back to the photo, I want it to be a bit faster. I don't want to leave people waiting around in the application. So I can actually set different times for the different animations. I can say, hey, when we're going from the text back to the photo, let's just set that to half a second. So let's give this a go. Let's see what this looks like. We'll open it back up in the emulator. So we've seen all of the different animations and things. I'm just going to click on a photo. We navigate through. There was a slight flash then when we went onto this screen, and we'll get rid of that in a second. I'll explain what's happened there. But now when we click on the photo, we get the transition from one state to the other state really nicely there. So why did that flash happen? Well, if we look at what's going on here, you can see that we're loading the layout route, and then we're playing the animation. So we load the picture, and then we animate it. So that's not going to work so well. So what we need to do is just take that layout route and say, hey, look, when we load that thing, let's just set it to 0%. Then we'll animate it in, and that'll be really nice and smooth then. And we can actually do that on the main page as well. Instead of the application just appearing, you know, like magic, we can add another one of these behaviors we used a little bit earlier, the control storyboard action here. We'll just drop that in there. We'll tell it to, when the application loads, to play the enter animation. And again, just to stop that annoying flash, we'll just set that to 0% there. So let's test it again. And this time the application will animate in nicely on the pivot there. That's quite nice. As we click on a photo, again, we haven't got the flash now when that page loads in. We just get that nice transition. We can transition nicely again from the photo to the text and back again. And then the back button, of course, now takes us back to the application. And just to prove that the text is data-driven, we'll just click on a different photo. We get a different photo there and also different text. So very quickly, we've been able to build a fairly sophisticated-looking application using Blend. Just want to show you a couple of final things before I hand over to Brian. I know he's eager to talk to you about the Metro side of things. I'm eager to hear about that as well. So let's just look at a couple of additional hints that will hopefully help you out. Let's just open up a different project here. You know, one of the things that we're going to have to deal with designing for the phone is I can change the orientation of my phone. A bit more difficult to do with my laptop, but with the phone, obviously, it's very easy. So how do we start to design and make allowances for that? Well, again, Blend makes it pretty easy because I can use those same visual states that we've just been looking at with the toggle button and a behavior to control that. So here's a very typical looking application. It looks pretty nice in this view. As we move to landscape mode, not so good. Not so good there. So all of the text is out of sync. We need to do some work there. Now, we could write a ton of code behind this to move those elements around. But really, this is a visual problem. So let's try and solve it visually inside of Blend. And the easiest way to do it is to use the Visual State Manager. And here, we've literally set up a portrait mode and a landscape mode. So when I click on landscape, you can see we've just laid out things differently for when the device is held in landscape. Makes sense. Then what we can do to actually make this work is I'm going to add a behavior, and we're going to add this orientate state behavior. I just drag that down here to my layout route, and then we can choose which of these visual states we actually want to use. So for landscape mode, I want to use landscape. For portrait, I want to use portrait. And you can see in the state manager, they just match up. They're exactly the same on both sides there. So that was pretty easy. Let's just have a look at the behavior. So I know people like to look at the code and see exactly what's going on in the background here. So this behavior, again, is pretty simple. We're just looking for an orientation update thing being fired. When that gets fired, we decide which of the visual states we go to, whether it's landscape or whether it's portrait. So let's just try this and see what it looks like. So here comes the app. There it goes. It looks quite nice. Let's just change orientation. Doesn't look too bad. Swap it back. But probably not quite as smooth as it could be. It hasn't got any of that subtle animation that we saw before. It's actually quite difficult to animate this stuff because you can't really animate margins and some of the elements that we actually need to animate to make that work. But again, Blend has this really great feature that allows you to sort of get around some of those issues. It has this feature called Fluid Layout. And fluid layout would actually flow the layout from one design to the other. So I'm just going to set the time on this to half a second. You probably want it a bit quicker than this, but hopefully you'll be able to see this over the live meeting. And we'll test it again. Now, this time, when we look at this in the emulator, you'll notice that as we rotate, everything relays itself out really subtly and really smoothly. And again, you can set the easing function there as well. So it's subtle things, but really make a big difference to the application. And the final thing, this is literally a two-minute demo right at the end. Let's just have a look at the panorama control here as well. So we'll just open up this guy. Now, this is very similar to the pivot control. You can see over here that it's a very similar layout. You've got the main control and the individual items within there. So let's just show you how easy it is to actually utilize this. I'm going to come down here and change the name of this. We'll call it Photo Diary again, as that's what we've just been building. We'll grab that first element, and we'll change that to, I guess, today, today's photos. And then we'll change the next one to this week's photos. Now, the thing that really brings these panoramic applications to life is the background. So to bring in the background, I literally just choose the panorama control, come over to my asset panel, or sorry, to my properties panel, choose background, and then choose the tile option. Choose the image we actually want to use. In this case, it's this one here. And then we can test this. Let's have a look at this in the emulator. And we can see we've got now this really nice panoramic application ready to receive some of the data and some of the layout that we had before. So in about half an hour, 35 minutes that we've just been running, we've done a number of different things. Let's just quickly recap what we've seen. We've created the photo diary application pretty much from scratch. And you're going to get all of these files, by the way. They're all going to be available for download. So you can dig into them, have a look, see how we put this stuff together and see how it all works. With all of the animations, all of the data binding, all of this stuff is here and working. We then looked at the orientation example. So trying to solve some of these new things you're going to have to start thinking about when you're designing for the phone. Again, nice subtle animations there. And then the final thing we looked at was the panoramic control here. Again, this is one of my favorite things with Windows Phone 7, is these gorgeous looking applications that we're starting to see pop up now with these types of graphics. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Brian.
Thank you very much. That's some fun stuff. So that's a fantastic overview, probably one of the best I've seen in a while, about how Blend can help you construct your app. But let me take a step back and help you consider some of the pieces that you might have to think about even before you start opening up Blend. So now let me just pull up my presentation. And in this, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history of our design language. And here we go. History of our design language. And also this, okay. History of our design language. And some of the pieces that you'll be able to bring to bear as you're designing your app. So for starters, I'm here to tell you that I love Windows Phone. I've been here for quite a long time working on this platform. And I hope as you guys start to develop and use Windows Phone, you'll love it as much as I do. So any design activity that you engage in when you build your app, the first thing you have to do is really plan before you begin to design. So we have this little image here, prepare for the day, prepare today for the demands of tomorrow, plan your move. It's not a matter of just rushing to your development tools or your Blend tools and starting to throw controls on the page. While Blend enables you to do that, it really helps to take a step back, start drawing on a whiteboard or a piece of paper, and really think about what you want to achieve. So the rest of this deck will tell you a little bit about why consumers will love this, the story of Metro, designing great Windows Phone applications, where I'll spend most of my time. And from there, I'll probably leave it. So we really believe that consumers will love Windows Phone 7, and that's primarily because it's a different kind of phone. We have looked at all our competitors, and we really believe that, you know, this year and in the next couple of years, putting out another phone that looks like our competitors would have been probably disadvantageous for Microsoft and for the developer community. And we thought doing something brand new with a new look and feel and a new style and a whole host of innovative tools like Blend will really make Windows Phone 7 a revolution in the marketplace. So it is a different kind of phone. So what are the things that you can really, really leverage when you're designing an application for Windows Phone 7 is that you're designing integrated experiences. And it really helps to think about Windows Phone as that personal device that brings in multiple pieces of information to you in one place. So let's take pictures, for example. If we were Microsoft of not too long ago and you wanted to build a pictures app, we would have simply given you a file hierarchy and let you scroll through and pick on folders until you saw a name that was vaguely familiar, and then you would have picked it only to find out that you chose the wrong photo. What Windows Phone 7 is trying to do is make it more about the fact that your life can be integrated into the applications. So when you open up your pictures application, which leads with a panorama, it's not just the hierarchy, but it is this picture that you've taken that's personal to you. And then it is also the recent pictures that you've taken, and it's also the pictures that your friends have taken, all pulled in to this one single integrated experience. And that's what we mean by integrated experiences. Now, as a phone that we're all going to be really proud of, it's also one of Microsoft's first truly integrated releases in terms of we bring Xbox to bear, iPhone, Office, Zune, and our messaging clients all in one platform, done in a way where we all seamlessly live together in really great design harmony. So let's talk a little bit about the story of Metro. So when we started, we wanted to really focus on who we were designing for, and this should be one of your first steps too. When you're building your application, who's that user? What are the things that they want to do? And for us, it was Anna and Miles. These are people who are balancing a busy work and personal life, and they don't necessarily take a break to do one or the other. It all comes together at them at one time. And the mobile device, the mobile phone, is the place where that happens first. And so when that comes up, when that new email comes in, it may be from their friends, it may be from work, they need to respond to it with the same amount of urgency. And so these people are doing that for both work and their personal life, and the phone helps them do that. Now, your user might be a little bit different. Your user may be a line of business application developer, and they may be primarily trying to help you track shipments. That's a different set of users, it's a different set of use cases, and it's important that you take the time to understand them. Now, when we looked at Anna and Miles, we started to learn about what are the sorts of things that they are looking for in a phone. And they were looking for something that was simple, that enabled them to express themselves and find the information that was most important to them. And so that's how Metro came about. It is a very simple design language or design platform that at a glance lets you find and see the information that has occurred since the last time you've used your phone. It also really helps you focus on what's important in a moment. So in this particular case, we're looking at Ann Welker's contact card. We can see her picture. We can see her latest post to one of her social networks. And we can see how easy it is to communicate with them. The calendar is very simple and minimalist, easy to figure out. And the people panorama, or people hub, helps you find out who you've recently communicated with. Again, it's not only simple to use, it's simple looking. So it helps you approach the phone and decide how you want to do what it is you want to do. Now, Metro, the design language, takes its inspiration from signage. I mean, imagine yourself landing in an airport you've never been in. I'm sure a lot of you have had that experience. And the first thought is, after getting off the plane, is how am I going to get my luggage? How am I going to get to the hotel? And you generally ended up figuring out how to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily because, you know, designing for a sign, designing for wayfinding, is about providing the information that you need to make you most successful in the most clearest way possible. It's not by over-decorating and providing Chrome or elements that say touch here and move this to do this. It is about giving you what you need to know. And that is, as we started reflecting on that, traveling through an airport that you've never been in or a train station you've never been in before, we said, boy, there's a strong metaphor and a strong sort of connection we can make towards using a phone system that might be new to you. So we basically said, Let's reduce all the complexity and elevate what it is that you need to know in a given moment. So that was our design inspiration, and you can see that in many of our applications and products that Microsoft is releasing, we started to bring that knowledge and bring that awareness to bear early on. So here you're looking at the Zoom client app, the desktop app. Also, again, focusing only on the content and giving you just enough symbol or iconography to say, hey, if you touch here, this is what's going to happen. It's not overly designed. We're not trying to cram too much information in. It's lets the content be beautiful on its own, and then lets the user figure out how they want to use their application. The same thing can be said for the Zoom device client, a device that essentially embraces the same design language. So Metro, as you've heard us talk about, is our design language. We call it Metro because it's modern and clean, it's fast and in motion, it's about content and typography, and it's entirely authentic. Now I'll go into a little bit about what this means to be entirely authentic and embracing typography, but this is what the designers in our team continually reminded themselves every day as they were building out the Metro, the Windows Phone 7 operating system and the languages that embrace Metro. So here again, clean, light, open, and fast. Your application should try as much as you can to celebrate open space within the application. Don't jam information onto the screen simply because there's more. It is a small screen, and users are going to be used to scrolling and navigating to find more. Typography and signage can be beautiful, so be comfortable in letting the name of a person shine and be that primary visual element, or the title of the magazine article, or title of the photo that you want to be large and bold. The Sago font enables that to sit on a screen in open space and be beautiful. And when you use motion, as we talked about earlier, what you want to do is make sure that motion's not overdone. Use it to reinforce the behaviors that a user took, but don't use it to over-decorate. Finally, as I've been saying, you want the content to shine. Let it be beautiful. But don't over-decorate with chrome and bubbles and glass and metallics to place, you know, your content on the screen. That's sort of reminiscent of when we had to teach users to use a mouse. They need to find an element on the screen that is clickable like a button. So we designed it to look like a button. But here we are, we're in 2010, and almost everything's a touchscreen. Users are going to expect that content is going to be something that they can play with and use. And that's what we mean by focusing on content, not Chrome. If you embrace those four principles, you'll start to recognize that your design, your application, is authentically digital. And here's how the light theme of Windows Phone 7 appears to be authentically digital. It celebrates the content, it allows for open space, it encourages interaction, and it tries not to do something that it's not. It tries not to be a 3D element sitting in a 2D surface. It just says, hey, I'm here, use me. And then when you touch that element, that's where that depth that you want to put in your buttons appears in your animation, in your navigation. And from here, what I'll do is I'll just show you how a number of different applications might embrace the Metro language. So here's a basic weather app, just plainly and basically applying the Metro language. But here is how Xbox and Office, two very strong brand and product languages, can enable their brand to shine while also using the Metro language. Here's an example of where a weather application might want to be just a bit more than a black background with some accent colors. They're bringing in just a slight bit of depth with a well-used background. But then again, they're not trying to over-jam in too much information. They're just trying to say, hey, what's the first read in this page? And make sure a user can get it. I'm also talking a little bit about pivots. And the thing you should know about pivots here is that it's about sorting, filtering, and bringing in related content. Some things that you should absolutely not do when using a pivot. don't put a map or any control that might pan underneath a pivot. What will end up happening is that both the pivot and that panning control, be it a map or a picture, will fight for that gesture. So you don't want to do anything like that. And you don't want to put like a toggle control, anything that's, again, going to allow a horizontal navigation under a pivot. The controls may enable you to do that, mm-hmm. but you want to restrain yourself from doing that. I'm going to skip down a little bit to say that if you look at Blend and you look at all of the design guidelines, there is a host of controls. And here I'm saying here are our Windows Phone controls. And if maybe you're an Apple iPhone or Android developer now, this slide is meant to communicate that if you're used to using a control in one of those platforms, we have a correlate on our platform that'll be available to you with a design language that you can embrace. And here are some simple panoramas that you might think about and might help you think about why use a panorama. So you saw that I used weather examples before, and that you can really design a one-page weather app and say, hey, what's the weather today, and what's the weather tomorrow and the rest of the week? And you can do that in one page. But if you're a sailor, you're going to want to know, what's the weather all along my trip? What are the points of interest that are important to me? And what might be some alerts that I should be aware of? That's where you might start thinking about a panorama. The panorama, while similar to the pivot in that it is horizontally navigated, it is best used to aggregate content from varying sources. You add that background, and all of a sudden you get a very visual space that encourages exploration, that aggregates information. And if you can do that, you're going to generate some great panoramas. Another panorama might be traveling. You might board your plane, figure out where you're seated, figure out what's playing, and figure out what kind of things you're going to do when you land. Again, aggregating information into one place where another platform might ask you to dive in, come out, dive in, come out, go into a new app and come out. The panorama brings it all together. Perhaps a banking panorama where you can track the market trends. Again, it encourages left-right navigation. It's not really sorting or filtering like a pivot would. It's more aggregating, again, just bringing in multiple sources of information into one place, one canvas for you to look at it and explore. And I'll just fly through a couple more examples from some of our partners who are thinking about it. You could think about a news panorama, something around a panorama that controls that helps you control the energy consumption of your house. And actually, it's interesting to point out in this one is that there's a pivot control within this panorama. That's, again, something that you want to avoid. That would be the panorama and the pivot equally competing for that left-right gesture of the user's navigation desire. So you want to avoid that. You could imagine it being more like a tappable tab, but again, that's probably a level of complexity that you don't want to have. Again, focus on that simplicity and let the user just see and explore the information that's there. And then you might even consider a panorama for your favorite movie or media shows or TV shows. So that's what I'll say about the design. I should say one more thing. As you design your app, understand where it lands. Metro, or Windows Phone 7, is a system. That system has an entry point that we call Start and the Apps page. That's where the user is going to get access to their application. That your application may have a panorama, or it may have lists with pivots. And from those lists and pivots, you'll get to a card view and maybe even an edit view. You also have a collection of settings that will enable to tune the device to the way you want it to use, and as well as also search. Your application should recognize that it lands in an environment where there's a lot of applications that have already established practices for interaction, practices for visual design. So try to embrace and learn from what you've already seen in the platform and allow your application to sit in as a new sort of house in this neighborhood that's already being built.